Well, good morning.
It's good to see you. It's a little hot. I don't want to blow anybody's ears off. Okay, sweet. Good morning. It's good to see you. I can't talk. I have to talk loud, so I don't need a whole lot of help from this thing. It is good to see you. Those of you who are guests with us, we are so thankful that you're here. If you got your Bible, would you go ahead and grab it and turn to the book of Proverbs? This morning, we are going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen for you. But either way, we would love for you to follow along as we read God's Word together. Proverbs chapter 4. As you turn there and find your way, last week, I did something I don't usually do. I left the house and I left my cell phone at home. You guys ever done that? I did it by accident, not intentionally. Sometimes I do it intentionally for a reason, to get away from it. Other times, like this past week, I left my phone accidentally as I was on the way to Roanoke for an appointment. I didn't realize it until I got all the way down into Shawsville, and then I needed to get gas. So I went to go and grab my phone to do like the tap pay thing, and I realized I didn't have it with me. So I was like, well, no worries, you know, it'll be okay. And I started thinking about it. Wait a minute, I don't actually know where I'm going. The directions to my meeting in Roanoke was on my phone. So I was like, no worries, I'll just grab my phone and call Danielle and ask her to look at my phone for the directions. And I started looking for my phone again. It was this whole terrible cycle. So then I was thinking, well, what do I do right now? Because I'm going to be late for my meeting. I can't go all the way home. Do I know anybody? So I was trying to start thinking of who I know in Shawsville that I could go find a phone, because there's no pay phones anymore. Those don't exist. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to find somebody. And so I did. Somebody that I knew in Shawsville, to call my wife, and she was going to give me the directions. But then she was like, babe, remember, I need you to go to Sam's, and I have a whole Sam's list for you, and that's on your phone too. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So my whole day unraveled because I left this silly thing at home. Sometimes we think sometimes technology is a blessing. In many ways it is. It does things that we could have never dreamed of just 20-some years ago. And then other times, it seems more like a curse. It seems like, oh my goodness, my life is increasingly controlled by technology, whether it's a phone or another device or something else. So is technology a blessing or a curse? And I think actually it can be both. I think it can be both. But really the question that I want us to look at this morning as we dive into continuing our series on the home, as we particularly try to pay attention to what about things, devices, technology in the home, how can we be a home that honors God in a digital world? The question is more than just, is technology good or bad? The question I want us to zoom in on this morning is, what is forming and shaping your heart? What is forming and shaping your heart? So as we start this morning, let that question kind of begin to stir in you and in me. What is forming and shaping our heart? You know, a recent study found that the average person checks their cell phone 200 times a day. 200 times a day. That works out to about every 4 minutes that we're trying to reach for, grab, check, whatever it is, our phone or device. The study found that many teens spend more time interacting with screens than they do interacting face-to-face with any person in their life. Parents spend about 34 minutes a day in meaningful conversations with their kids. The truth is that we're always being shaped by something. Something is always shaping us. Something's shaping us right now. The question is, what are we allowing? What are we allowing to form and shape our heart? And then when I think about my kids, something is also shaping our kids. If we don't do it intentionally as parents, and if we don't let the Word of God do it, then Instagram will jump right to the task. And TikTok and Snapchat, anything else, they will be happy to shape the hearts of our kids. So I want you to think about, like, in 15 minutes of scrolling, about just how much influence that can have on us, right? We're told instantly what to laugh at, what to value, what to go and buy on our Amazon cart. We're told instantly with things that we should value and things that we shouldn't. We're told a lot of different things. In fact, there's a whole job, like influencers. to influence us into things, to think things or do things. Like, there's a whole category of people like that that are going after, ultimately, our hearts. And my point is that there's a war going on for your heart and my heart today in our culture. What are we allowing to shape us? And then this morning, what we want to look at is, what does Scripture have to say about it? Yes, Scripture doesn't talk about iPhones, but it has a whole lot to say about what we allow in and what we allow to shape and form and fashion us. And so I want us to read Proverbs chapter 4, and we're gonna zoom in on 7 verses. So we're going to begin this morning in verse 20. Verse 20 says, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." Well, Lord, this morning, as we come before your word, as we read it and as we study it, would you, through your Spirit, bring it to life in us so that it wouldn't just be words on a page that we look at, but it would be truth that we internalize in our hearts. And then, Lord, that it would bear fruit in our lives as we desire, Lord, to be formed and fashioned into your likeness, to become more and more like you. So, Lord, would you be with us this time that we have? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Kevin last week talked about, again, in Proverbs, what it looks like to be people who receive wisdom and instruction and willingly put our lives under it. It means that we have ears to hear and receive the instruction of God on our lives. What does it look like to be teachable? What does that look like in our lives? And explained again just a little bit about Proverbs, the nature of Proverbs, that not universal truths in every specific situation, but general truth as how things should be and generally are when we align our life and lives in God's Word. Well, this specific passage in chapter 4, Solomon is writing this and imparting wisdom and challenging his son. Once again, he's saying, son, listen up. Listen to the words that I'm about to say, because this is very important. Beginning in verse 20, he says, "Be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my saying." In other words, he's saying, all right, son, listen up. There's going to be a lot of voices out there as he's sending his son out into the world. There's going to be a lot of voices that are competing and battling for your attention and your focus and your heart and your direction. And so I'm saying, make sure that you learn some of these things before you go out there. Make sure you pay attention to this. And it's actually a repeated theme throughout the book of Proverbs where he says, in chapter 2, "My son, receive my words, treasure my commandments." Chapter 3, "My son, don't forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments." Chapter 4, "Be attentive, keep hold on to. Don't let go of the words of wisdom and righteousness that I'm imparting on to you." So he's trying to stress there's something that's incredibly important. Verse 21, "Let them not escape from your sight, but keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all of their flesh." So he says, the words that I'm giving to you are words that are going to help and be life-giving as you follow after the Lord. As you fix your eyes on him, these things are going to help guide and direct you. In other words, I need you to pay attention because there's going to be a lot of landmines along the way that want to disrupt and turn your heart away from God. So these are some things that you need to listen to. So what is the main thing that he's saying this? I think the main thing is found in verse 23. And that is, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. NASB words it this way. NASB says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Another repeated theme that we see in Proverbs is the attention to the heart. And the heart is not, again, we've talked about this before, the heart is not just about the organ that we have that pumps blood through our body. The heart is the innermost part of our being. It's where our thoughts and emotives and emotions and intentions, all of that flows and comes out of our heart. And so he's going after our heart, and he says, guard your heart. That is the deepest part of who you are. And so in that sense, the heart is the control center of our lives. And that's what we're going to see, that everything in our life ends up flowing out of or becoming out of an overflow of the heart. It means the heart sets the direction for your life, your speech, your thoughts, your action, your choices. It all comes from the heart. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 15. You can turn there, or you can just look at it. I should have it on the screen. But in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is talking to a group of people who talked a good talk, but their hearts were far from him. And so in 15, beginning in verse 17, Jesus said, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. So he's talking about the things that come expressed out into our lives. They have a source. It comes from our heart. And so what Solomon's imparting here is, so because that's true, we have to guard our hearts. Growing up, my dad, that was sort of the theme of his teaching for us in many ways as men, as young men. He kept telling us all the time, guys, you got to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart. You have to keep out things that want to steer you in a wrong direction. You have to preserve that which God has put in there. Like there's a seriousness to guarding your heart. The word here, actually, it can mean, so some of your translations might say keep, some might say guard, or some might say watch. It means, it actually used in several different ways. One of them was as a watchman who was keeping over the watch of a city gate. So his job was to make sure that only the right things were allowed in, and what was in enemies were not allowed. So that it was to keep guard over a city gate. He had a specific job to do. I remember several years ago, Stephen Davis was telling me about a situation when he was in the service where he was over charge of a bunch of guys, and each of them had their post, and he was responsible to check back and make sure they were all doing their job. And he said he went to one post where there was a main road leading into their camp where they were, and his job was crucial because the main enemy road input would be right there. And I remember Stephen telling me, he said, I was doing my rounds, and I went up and I found the guy asleep. Like he was just completely asleep, and we were completely exposed because he was not guarding the road. He wasn't guarding the gate into their area. Actually, if you know Stephen, I think he said he slammed his head on the table to wake him up. That's a totally Stephen thing to do. But it was serious, right? Because the safety of your entire infantry or your entire team rests on you guarding the gate. So it was used to guard a city. It was also used to meant something that is precious to you that you guard and to protect. Protecting something that was precious. I remember we took our girls years ago to a fair in North Carolina, and there was thousands and thousands of people. And I remember as soon as we walked in there, it was like we clung onto our girls. Like it was because I knew there was thousands of people that I didn't know, and I knew there was dangers around. And so we were like, because my girls are precious to me, I didn't want anything to happen to them. So we watched them like crazy. You couldn't actually even pay attention to the carnival, to the festival, because we were so worried about somebody trying to snatch our kids. And you don't mess with my girls. I mean, I know I'm not a very big dude, but if you go after my daughters, I'm going for the throat. Okay, like I'm because they're precious to me, and so I'm going to guard and to protect them. So the word here, when it's saying guard your heart, is there's this intensity of there's something that's precious and valuable. There's something that is absolutely essential that you keep watch over. And what is it? It's your heart. It's what drives and controls so many aspects of your life. So that means there's two parts to this. There's things then, as we guard, that we should allow in, right? And that's the instruction that he's been giving. There's the word of God that we need to allow in and to hold in. We hold in the word and the teaching of the Lord. We guard that. And Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up," or I've hidden your word in my heart, "so that I might not sin against you." You see the practice? The practice is I'm allowing the word of God in to prevent me, to protect me and guard my heart from other things that should not be there. D.L. Moody famously said, "God's word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's word." So there is an intentionality that we have to allow in and receive in and live in, dwell in, abide in the word of God. But then there's also things that we have to keep out of our heart. We have to intentionally watch, guard, and protect against things that would try to come in, things that would try to defile, distract, steer us away. So that means there's things in my life that I allow in, and there's things that I cannot allow in, because if I let them in my heart, they will ultimately come out in the way that I live my life. We must guard our heart because every aspect of our lives flows from it. So notice what he says. So he says, guard your heart because every other aspect of your life flows from it. And he's going to give some specific examples of how that works, of how that things that flow from your heart. And he says in verse 24, "So put away from you crooked speech. Put devious talk far from you." So he's going to go to the mouth. He says, just use it as an example. As an example of something that that expresses the things that are in our heart. Have you ever said something and you're like, "Man, I don't know where that came from"? I can tell you where it came from. It came from inside. It came from your heart. So then bitterness, anger, lying, slander, gossip, all of those things reveal what's going on inside of our heart. You ever heard the phrase, "What's down in the well comes up in the bucket"? You've ever heard that term before? It's expressing a truth that what's down in our hearts ultimately comes out in the way that we live, talk, behave, choices that we make. I heard it expressed this way before, and it's always stuck with me. Paul Tripp, a Christian counselor, author, explains it this way. He said, "If I take this water bottle right here, and if I shake it like this, and then I ask you, 'Man, why'd water come out of there? Why'd the water come out?' You might would say, 'Well, duh, because you shook it, right?' But what if I asked you, 'Why did water come out?' Because that's what was in there." And so when things of our life, whether it's relationships or circumstances or situations, shake us, and it always will, then what comes out of us when we're shaken just reveals what was in there all along. So that's why it's so important that we guard our hearts. Guard your heart because every aspect of your life flows from it. He goes from the mouth quickly and then he goes to the eyes. Verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. There are so many things that want to distract us and turn us away from the path. He talks about the road and the path here quite a bit. He's talking about the road of righteousness, the road of following after the Lord. It's a continual theme through here. It's not talking about a specific direction of life. It's just talking about the direction that God is leading you in obedience and in righteousness towards Him. And there are so many things that want to distract and take us off the path of righteousness. They're trying to take our focus and attention away. If you ever watch a basketball game, and there's somebody who gets fouled and goes to the free throw line, right? If you've ever watched like a college or an NBA game, and somebody's about to shoot, what's happening? The opposing team is doing behind the thing, like they're losing their mind, waving and going crazy, and you know, waving all these balloons, and they're trying to get your focus off of the rim and focus on them so that you'll miss the shot. That's their total goal in that moment. They're just trying to distract you, the shooter, from being able to focus on the job that's in front of him. And so the word of Solomon to his son is, son, listen to me. There's a lot of things in this world that are going to want to turn your attention and your focus and your heart away from the living God. And so I'm telling you, guard your heart and know that those things are coming and keep your gaze straight ahead. I don't think there's ever been more distractions in the history of the world than there are right now. So we, again, taking this to our home, what does that look like in our homes? And if you have a pulse, then you know that technology is taking over so many aspects of our homes. And if you're like me, you've grown increasingly frustrated because of it. Whether it's trying to guard your own heart and how much time you're spending on a device or on a, you know, or whatever, or your kids and monitoring screen time and all these things and all these limits and all these apps. And it's just, it's crazy. Well, there's a book that author Jonathan Haidt wrote called The Anxious Generation. He's a social psychologist. He describes the current culture that we live in right now. He's been doing a lot of study, and he kind of analyzes the previous generation from this one. And he says that the previous generation grew up in a play-based childhood, and now he describes the new one as like a phone-based childhood. In his book, he says that this has profoundly damaged the mental, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being of young people. He says, constant phone use, social media, gaming, and constant digital stimulation have rewired attention spans, increased anxiety and depression, and created a generation that is more isolated, fragile, and chronically distracted. The result, he argues, is not just wasted time, but it's a deeper crisis of loneliness, fear, comparison, addiction, and emotional instability that is reshaping families, schools, and society itself. He talks about how the rise of the smartphone. He says, we didn't just give kids, children, smartphones. We gave them continuous access to social comparison, public judgment, and addictive algorithms. We have unknowingly subjected an entire generation of children to a giant social experiment, rewiring their social and neurological development in ways that we still do not fully understand. It's happening right now, and it's happening in our homes. But again, I think it's easy for us to point the finger at Facebook or point the finger at a big tech, and all of those are problems. We could even point the finger at like the pornography industry and say what damage that they're doing, and it absolutely is. It's pornography is destructive, and it destroys relationships and intimacy and trust, and it always tears down, and it always destroys. But we can't just point outside of ourselves. We have to look inward. And so what Scripture points us to is be careful about your own heart. Be careful about the things that you allow in. I can't control that the iPhone allows things that shouldn't be there. But I can control my own heart, and I can prevent things from entering in and doing things that I shouldn't. And so the attention goes to your own heart. The problem lies within, which is why I really like this next verse, verse 26. He writes, ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. When is the last time you've stopped long enough to just be still and just to ponder and think, where's my heart leading me? Where's my heart, where's our heart leading our family right now? What are the voices that we are allowing to influence and steer us? We typically go 1,000 miles an hour in 1,000 different directions, and I don't think we often take time to just pause and say, okay, let me breathe for a minute. How is the things in my life, how are they shaping me? How are they forming me? What am I allowing them to do and teach and train in me? Maybe you need to pause and think about a specific action that you're doing right now and say, where is this action taking me? Where is it leading me? Where is it leading my life? Proverbs, Solomon describes a man in chapter 7 of Proverbs. He describes a man who is walking after sexual immorality, sort of personified in a woman. And it's described as this seductress who's luring him and following him. And it says, all at once he follows her, like an ox goes to the slaughter, not knowing it will cost him his life. Have you pondered? Have you taken time to ponder the path in the direction that you're headed in? Now, I want to be careful because this is not, let me do a checkup and make sure that I'm doing all the right things and I'm attending all the good church services and I'm listening to all the right, and I'm just make sure that I'm doing the right, I'm checking all the right boxes. This is a heart-level check that asks, how am I becoming more like Jesus? How am I being shaped and conformed to Him? And that is not something that we can do on our own. It's not something that I can stand here this morning and say, okay, if you check all these boxes, you're going to be great. And you're going to be, you know, everything's going to be perfect in your life and you're going to be a really good Christian. No, it's, am I being conformed and becoming more like Him? Am I allowing His fruit to be produced in my life? Galatians 5, verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Am I allowing and am I seeing the fruit of the Spirit produced in me? So we have a pastor friend of ours, and he wrote an article for a theological journal, and I thought it was excellent. And in that article, he compares the fruit of the Spirit to the fruit that we often see that comes from social media and technology and digital entertainment. And he actually describes it as the anti-fruit of the Spirit. And I want you just to listen for a moment, because I think he's really on to something. Digital technology is often the anti-fruit of the Spirit. It replaces love and kindness with anger and outrage. It replaces joy and peace with depression and anxiety. It replaces patience with impatience and compulsion. It replaces goodness and faithfulness with moral ambiguity. It replaces gentleness with violence. And replaces self-control with addiction. And I think if all of us are honest, we're saying, yeah. Like, you spend much time on those things and you start seeing those things rise up in your own heart, and in my own heart. So this morning, I want us to get real practical, because I do think it's something that we all wrestle with. And I wanted to think through, what are some practical ways that we can guard our hearts, particularly in this area? How can we guard our hearts and our families? And this is not just for kids. It's not just for rules that we should impose on children, because all of us are impacted by this one way or another. So what are some ways that we can, steps that we can take to guard our hearts? I think the first step that we can take is to pray. Ponder the path of your feet. So we need to pause long enough to say, okay, Lord, what's shaping us? What's shaping our family? What are we allowing in that is shaping and guiding and directing us? Lord, show me what's in my heart. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting." It's an invitation to the Lord to check my heart. Test, because so often my heart is deceitful. And I have blind spots. There's things that I don't see. And so, Lord, would you open my eyes to see? Show me. Show me what's in my heart. So pray. I would encourage you to do that together as a family. Pray. All right, guys. What is it? What are we allowing in our life that's taking too much attention and time and focus? What things are distracting? What things are disrupting? What things are not above reproach? What things, you think about Philippians 4:8 as a good filter. What are those things that we are thinking and dwelling on that are leading us away? And then I think the next one is to protect. So first, pray. Second, protect. And this is where we can take specific steps to guard our hearts and our family. Sometimes setting that word limits, setting limits is like a, you know, a curse word. Oh, you know, you can't do that. You can't. Limits are good things. Limits are things that we all need in our life. If you're driving down a windy road and there's a big cliff on the side and you see a guardrail, guardrails are good. They're there for a reason. They're there to keep us and protect us from going off of the edge and leading us towards destruction. So limits are a good thing. We all need them. Adults need them. Kids need them. We need limits. We put these things in place because we know the dangers that can happen if we don't. We recently sat down as a family trying to work through this and trying to set limits. And what we didn't want to do is just like impose, okay, this is how it is. Like, I wanted their input. So we sat down together and kind of chalkboarded it up. What are some things that we're doing? What are some things what are some good things that we should be doing? And then we start working through that together as a team, as a family. What are some limits that we need to set in these areas? And now there were some that we just had to say, no. I mean, there's a certain time where phones are off, devices are off, it's shut down, it's done. We're not going to discuss that. It's going to happen at a specific time. So find out what that looks like for your family. Sit down together, work over that, plan a family meeting that you can all get together for and say, all right, here's what we're going to do, and let's brainstorm this together. Maybe you pick a time like a no phone device zone, or a time like a dinner table where it's not allowed. It's not allowed here. And again, one of the books, Habits of the Household, we started doing this. They have a basket where all your devices go into that during dinner, because we're not going to do that. We're going to sit and we're going to actually look at each other and we're going to talk and have family time together. I know that sounds really simple, but maybe we need to start somewhere really simple. Let's start somewhere. My brother, I've always loved and admired my brother. My brother Josh, he started instituting in his own life a phone Sabbath where he takes 24 hours where he doesn't even touch it. So he has a complete Sabbath day where he's not even on any kind of device. And he's seen incredible fruit and life-giving as a result. So next, what about transparency and accountability? Parents, if we're giving our kids unrestricted access to the internet, we are fools. Because there are so many dangers that lie for them, for us. And if we don't set up guardrails, if we don't set up protections, we are opening them up to so many ungodly things. Maybe set rules for your family. Our spouses get to see the other person's phone. We get to see our kids' phones. What we view on the internet is seen by others. It's accountability. It's some of those simple things, but we have to take steps to allow those things into our life. I've noticed in my own heart that I'm way too attached to my phone. I'm way too attached to it. I mean, again, I told you that sometimes I leave it, like if I'm going to go out with Danielle or something and I've got another phone with us, I will leave mine at home intentionally because it takes so much. And I need time away from it. And so the times that I do, oh my goodness, it's freeing. It's like, man, this is, well, as long as I know where I'm going, and it's freeing. So I'm not here saying and preaching, I've got it figured out. So I'm not the Solomon here. Listen, my son, listen to my teachings and follow the ways of your pastor. I'm just saying, like, we've got to figure this out. And we've got to do this in the power and the strength and the mercy and the kindness of the Lord so that we can guard and protect our kids' hearts, we can guard and protect our hearts. So don't hear me saying that I've got it all figured out, because I certainly don't. But I do want to be shaped by the Word of God. I do want to be directed by Him, and I do want to guard my heart. I want to guard my girls' hearts, and I want to protect our family. Which leads us to the last one, which is pursue. So pray and protect and then pursue. Because the truth is that throwing your iPhone away is not going to change your heart. Right? I could put every single possible limit on every possible device that you could think of in our home or in my life. That doesn't change my heart. I think it's good, you could take good steps to protect it. It doesn't change you. Only the Spirit of God can change. And so that comes through pursuit, intentional pursuit of Christ in every part of your home. So make that commitment that we're going to pursue Christ together, individually, personally, and as a family, to follow the Lord, to pursue Him, abide in His Word, again, personally, as a family. Let your kids see you in the Word of God. Let it be contagious. Memorize Scripture. Fill your home with worship. Connect in gospel community with others. Connect into another family that desires the same things that you do. Pursue the Lord. Fill your heart with Christ. You know, our moms always told us growing up, don't snack before dinner because you'll ruin your appetite, right? I think we've ruined our appetites so often for the Word of God, for pursuit of Him. John Piper said, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world, your soul is stuffed with small things, and there's no room for great. So what are you allowing to form and shape your heart? Growing up, my mom always had a little song that she would sing to us. Maybe you've heard it. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know what? For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little feet, where you go. I made this new one up. Be careful, little thumbs, how you scroll. Be careful, little thumbs, how you scroll. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little thumbs, how you scroll. But the Word of God says, above all else, guard your heart. For from it flows the springs of life. Let's pray. Lord, it is the desire of our heart that you would rule and reign in us. Lord, I know that there are so many distractions. There are so many things that want to steer us away from you. So God, by your grace, would you first convict? Would you expose? Would you show us what's inside of us? Would you search our hearts, oh God, and show us what's inside of us? And then would you lead us in the way of everlasting, the way of life, the way of wisdom, the way of righteousness? Lord, I pray that your word would bring conviction, but it will also bring encouragement to know that you are with us in these struggles, that you forgive us when we fall and when we fail, and that we don't have to live under judgment and condemnation, but we can walk in the freedom that we have in Christ, in the forgiveness that we have in him. So Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be overcome with guilt, but that we would receive the freedom that you offer to us and that we would walk in it. That you would lead and guide and direct the steps of our families. Give us practical ways, Lord, that we can guard our hearts. So would you work in us this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing together. And I do want to invite you, if you have a burden on your heart, you want to pray, you can come in down here and pray. If you're here this morning and you're questioning in your own heart your relationship with God and you want somebody to talk to about it, I'll be right here. I would love to chat with you. I would love to show you from God's word how you can begin a relationship with him. Maybe you're here and you know you're lost this morning. And you need Jesus. I would love to talk to you about that. Please don't leave today without settling that in your heart. But whatever it is, let's use this time to pause to reflect on what God's doing in our hearts as we sing together.